Luzardo ready. The 1-1 on the way. Swung on, blasted high in the air, left center field and deep. Kepler on the track at the wall, and it is gone. And Romy Gonzalez with a grand slam has turned the game around for the Red Sox.
Well, there it was last night. Scott Fransky on the call. Romy Gonzalez, a grand slam off of Jesus Luzardo to put the Red Sox up 6-5.
That was tough.
Luzardo just fell apart last night. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio. This is the Midday Show. We are broadcasting live from the NovaCare Complex. 94 WIP's Champ Camp, driven by Forest River RV, by Camping World, RV sales, service, parts, and accessories. So we are down here at Champ Camp. Jordan Mailata, Jeremiah Trotter Jr., they will join us after practice today. But yeah, that was last night, Hugh. Phils get off to a great start.
Pretty good start, man. They had a nice little cushion. What was it, 4-0?
5-0.
Yeah.
5-0 lead. And then Luzardo, man. Guy's a no-hitter going into the fifth, and he just totally falls apart in that fifth inning, and Phils lose 9-7 and 11 last.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only positive you could take out of that is that they fought back. They fought to try to win the game. It's just – it was tough. It was a tough last night.
Well, it was nice to see JT Realmuto hit a homer off a lefty, which hadn't happened since last September. So good to see that. But the Phils lose. And Luzardo getting a little concerning. I mean, the way he has struggled lately. And it really all started at the end of May when he had that game against the Brewers where he gave up something like 12 runs in three innings or something like that. But it all fell apart for him again last night. Here was Luzardo after the game talking about what happened.
Yeah, clearly, you know, it's not working. So, working tirelessly at seeing what we got to do to fix it. Like you said, you know, it's been over a month now, and the first 12 starts were incredible in the sense that there was never a problem. And then now, the last whatever it is, it's always been an issue. So, out of the windup clearly isn't the problem. It's when we get in the stretch. So, I feel like other teams know that. So, yeah, just back to the drawing board in terms of that and, you know, working with Caleb and Mark and seeing what we can do. But, you know, there's no one, you know, I'm working day and night trying to figure it out. So it's something that needs to get fixed, and it needs to get fixed now.
I got to say, I've pretty much lost all faith in Luzardo at this point. I mean,
they had a rough one.
What worries me is just the way he gets in his own head. And I didn't like after last start. Did you hear about the thing where he goes in middle of the inning and shaves his mustache?
I didn't hear about that, but that's he's in a little bit of a crisis.
That's
trying
a sign.
To change something. Yeah, that's a sign of crisis.
Yeah, that's a sign somebody's in their own head right there.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you doing in the middle of a game, shaving your mustache?
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. That makes people kind of wonder what the hell's going on in your head. But yeah, he's clearly not the guy that he was a few weeks ago. And yeah.
would you like to take a victory lap, Hugh?
Nah. Okay. No, I'm trying to be an adult about
Come
these
on,
situations.
Hill.
No, we're being adult about these situations.
Hold on, you told you so us over everything
else. No, listen, but the logic that I had for putting him in the bullpen was strictly based off of what Ranger wasn't going to do in Ranger's contract situation. Luzardo has been, well, at one point he was pitching well, and now he's not. But as we move through this and we're looking to – you know, piecemeal this bullpen and figure things out, it makes sense for him to be a bullpen piece because in short spurts, he looks like he's a lot better. So that's where we are with this. This is about winning a World Series. It's not about being right or wrong. It's about trying to win a World Series.
Yeah, well, we're just trying to give you your credit, Hugh. I mean, you're the baseball guy here on the show.
Unlike some of my cohorts, I choose to take the high road.
High road Douglas.
I told you so, Douglas.
But
trying to be mature,
well,
in this 10-2 space.
No, you're
well,
not.
You're the baseball guy on the show, Hugh. You deserve the credit for this.
Well,
You had the foresight.
It all depends on what the conversation's about. Now, certain conversations I choose to be mature about, but others, then I'll be childish.
Yeah, well,
a little bit more childish.
Either way, I want to get your take on how worried you are about Jesus Luzardo, because I'm really concerned. And the thing that worries me more than anything is now, like before, I think we were looking at Aaron Nola,
mm-hmm.
and it was like, okay, well, if you get Nola back and he pitches well and he can start a playoff game for you, great, but you don't really need him. I kind of think you need him now. Like, I don't feel good about the prospect of needing to start Luzardo in a game four of a playoff series. Or, I mean, say you have to win you have to play the wild card series.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to start Luzardo in game one or two of that following series. So now, like, Nola coming back and being good, it really matters now because you probably need him for the playoffs.
You know, it's just funny to think. I remember the thing that I think when I think of Nola is a guy that he'll give you a couple innings where he's a little rocky, and then when he settles in, he's pretty clutch. He's pretty clutch. So that's that was uncalled for.
It was very called for.
Couldn't spit it out. Spit it out. But yeah, he's played. Can't do it again. Pretty clutch.
That was poetic justice right there, Hugh. I mean, that was destiny.
Kyle sometimes. and the ambiguity.
Kyle's in your head, just like, you know.
No, man,
Lizardo's in his own head right now.
But he's probably going to end up in the bullpen.
Yeah, he's got to go to the bullpen and maybe can give you value there. But even in the bullpen right now, like the way Lizardo seems like, I don't want to call him mentally soft because obviously, I mean, going out and pitching is a really tough job. But when things go wrong, man, I don't feel good that he can kind of corral
out of him.
Like you look at a guy like Ranger or Christopher Sanchez. Okay, they'll give up a couple runs
Nola has that mentality as well.
Yeah,
that mentality a little bit.
Yeah, well, Nola's got a little bit of Lizardo in him too. You know, with the home runs and letting things spiral out of control, not to the same degree that we've seen from Lizardo, but I don't feel great about what he's going to give even in the pen right now, but. It seems like that's probably what the future is going to be for him in the postseason.
I think that's a little unfair to Nola. I think he's got more stones than that. Like we've seen Nola unravel in like an inning or two before, but he can push through and get it together.
Yeah.
And give you a nice long outing.
See, I feel the
TK hate. I feel a little bit of hate.
Fake TK. Ace. I mean, he's just, you know, he's a fine pitcher. But he's not.
Well, nobody thinks he's an ace anymore. You're fighting a battle that nobody else is on the other side of.
I'm fighting a battle that I've already won.
Well, sure.
There was an argument for a while, Kyle, that he was an ace.
I know, but now you're. You're shooting them while they're already in the grave.
Well, I mean, at this point, we don't even know if Nola's going to be like a viable pitcher when he comes back.
I think he will be.
Even before he got hurt, he was not pitching well this year.
Well, but wasn't he kind of? I think the idea was that he was dealing with something while, like in the beginning of the season. That's why he was pitching poorly.
Rib.
I don't know about.
We had an ankle thing.
Yeah, but before that, there was a month before he had the ankle thing.
But that's what Kyle is saying. He probably was dealing with that.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a month before we knew about the ankle thing.
Right. Well, I'll choose to believe
it. This training staff has had they haven't had any glowing endorsements this year. They've kind of missed the boat on a few things this year.
Yeah, maybe a little late. I mean, with Nola, certainly letting him pitch after they knew the ankle thing, whenever it happened, that was a mistake for sure. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. But your thoughts on Lizardo last night, how worried are you about him? And with the Eagles, do you think they need to be more of a pass-heavy team this year as we move forward and the league adjusts? And I think, you know, the point that Kyle made earlier is one that is really interesting. Because I think it's easy to get guys to buy in for 1 year. Like AJ, Devontae, and Devontae's never going to come out and really say anything publicly. But last year, it was a 1 year thing. They were paid. You know, I think it was easier to sacrifice numbers. I think it's going to be tough, Hugh, for those guys to sacrifice numbers again this year. I think they're going to want the ball a little bit.
I think there's going to be opportunities for that. I think that what's going to happen is you have to maximize your catches. And what I mean by that is I think that there's a chance that there's going to be, you know, a lot of yards after the catch, run after the catch, whatever you want to call it. And they're going to have to capitalize on that. I just can't see that this team is going to come out and just start throwing it all over the schoolyard all of a sudden, and you've had so much success with the run game. And to be honest, everything sets up off the run game. Because teams are going to have to play those linebackers closer. They're going to have to play the safeties closer because the threat of Saquon being there. So there might be some plays over the top that you'll be able to make, but you're not going to be able to abandon the run altogether. I don't think that's going
to
happen.
No, and that's not what I want them to do either. I just think it's going to need to be a little more of a mix this year. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Jeff in Wilmington. What's up, Jeff?
What's up, guys?
What's up, Jeff?
So, Phillies, Eagles. Well, Eagles first. They have to pass a little bit more because I think teams are going to be keying on the run based on what the Chiefs did. So, I just don't think they have to do it for the sake of doing it. That seems like what, I don't know. That seems like what you're saying, TK. I'm not really sure.
No, maybe I'm not explaining it well enough then, Jeff. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm not saying they need to come out and just air the ball out just to air the ball out. I just think defenses are going to be more effective against this running game this year. You know, I think with a full offseason to study up on what exactly the Eagles are doing, how they were able to run the ball so effectively this year, I just think it's going to be more difficult for them to do it. And I think if the plan is, okay, well, we're just going to come out and do the same thing we did last year, I just don't think it's going to work as well.
That's fair enough. I mean, like I said, they're going to have to do something different only because other teams will be keying on the run a little bit more. As far as the Phillies, how are you going to put Lizardo in the bullpen? I mean, if he's having trouble pitching out of the stretch. I mean, if you want to put him in there as a opener, but I don't trust that guy right now.
No, and that's the problem, Jeff. I don't think there is, like, a perfect fit for him. I don't know if he's a guy that could pitch all that effectively out of the bullpen, but I'll tell you this. I just don't think he's a guy right now that I trust starting a playoff game. I mean, you can't rely on him to go out there and give you 5-6 innings, because what we've seen recently is as the game goes on, I mean, eventually he's going to have that one inning where he kind of blows up a little bit.
He's got to be the guy that goes in when it's low leverage, like when you got a big lead or when you need mop up, until he can get himself straight with his pitching from the stretch, because 50 or 60% of the time when you come into a game as a reliever, you're going to be pitching out of the stretch.
Yeah, no, I agree, Jeff, and appreciate the call. And I think that's something the Phillies need to recognize as well, because I know, or it seems like part of their philosophy as we lead up to the trade deadline with the bullpen is, well, we'll move some of our starters to the bullpen. John Middleton had talked about that last week. But, I mean, you can't just count on that, because you don't know if these guys are going to be able to be effective in that role.
Yeah, but that's what you're hoping for. You're hoping for, because we're in a situation now when you're talking about the trade deadline right around the corner that – you're not going to be able to fill every void that you're trying to fill. So now you're going to have to probably try to piecemeal this thing together, and guys' roles are going to change. Who was it? Was it the year the World Series? What was it when Brett Myers went to the bullpen? Was that the year?
That was the year before.
Okay, the year before. 07. Yeah. But you know, he was one of those guys that was a starter. He had to move to the bullpen. It's one of those things where – you're trying to get more bang for your buck. I know I've said that before, and that's what it looks like, because you're trying to get arms. And if you get one arm, you're probably going to need a few, especially when you talk about the guys you trust in that bullpen. And in a short series or a short sampling size, I think he would probably be beneficial in the bullpen.
Yeah, and I just don't want them to feel like, oh, well, We got these starters. We signed David Robertson. I mean, David Robertson's 40 years old.
He was on the couch chilling. Hold my beer.
I mean, I know he threw the ball well last year, but he wasn't great the last time he was here. I just don't want them to look at it and think, oh, well, we don't need to go out and get bullpen pieces because we have these other options. I don't think you can just rely on that. I mean, I think that's part of the solution. I just don't think it can be the entire solution. Let's go to Ryan in Wilmington. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, what's up, TK? How you doing? You, what's up, Kyle?
What's up,
how you doing,
man?
Guys?
What's up, Ryan?
I mean, Lizardo, that's going to be tough. Actually, I was just watching the game with my buddies last night, and they, none of them have any faith in him. I mean, he goes 5 innings, he starts out hot, and then as soon as he gives up a hit or two, it's like, I mean, it's done. It's over. And it's a shame, because, I mean, there's nothing that Rob can really do. We don't have any relief. As soon as we put a reliever in, the game's over anyway. So, I mean, it's a tough situation, but he's going to be an X factor. Whether he's in the bullpen or a starter, there's going to be a situation in the playoffs where he's really going to have to step up, like, for sure.
Yeah, and who knows, Ryan? I mean, maybe it is a situation where you bring him in the playoffs, and he can be a one-inning guy, and you just tell him, hey, just go out there, throw 98, throw 99, give everything you have, and maybe he's effective in that role. It's just
maybe.
It's hard to know. It's hard to know without having seen it first. I mean, maybe the answer is you move him to the bullpen in September or something and let him get, you know, some
test
reps
it out.
There. Yeah.
Yeah. And then with Jalen and Saquon, the run game, I mean, you said it. I mean, every game, no matter what, they had the best offensive line, one of the best running backs, probably the best running back in the league. You're going to establish the run every time regardless. I mean, I don't know how many people are going to stop it. I don't know how much game plan you can really do. I mean, you can't really get too cute with this offense. I think Jalen Hurts is a stud. I know the slander always happens at 94-1. Some people feel this, some people feel that. I mean, and everybody always brings it up. But, I mean, in the Super Bowl, Spags absolutely shut down Saquon. What did Jalen do? What did he do?
He was incredible in the Super Bowl.
He was asking you to here. He wasn't talking.
No, I'm saying he was great in the Super Bowl, the championship game.
I don't know why he can't do that.
I'm not a Jalen slanderer.
No, I understand. I'm just saying. I know it's not always you, but like. But yeah,
you could like not separate himself from me. Like we're both in the RV right now, but like figuratively, Hugh is all the way like 100 miles.
I'm just saying, man.
He's talking to you. I don't want any piece of this.
Yeah, you're talking to me.
I mean, I don't understand why you can't do that, but all. I mean,
I get it, Ryan.
We'll see how it goes.
Appreciate the call, man. Thanks. I don't know. Would you characterize me as a Jalen slanderer?
No.
Haters, both of you.
shut up, Kyle.
You know what?
Is Kyle a slanderer?
The peanut guy.
No.
Kyle is grounded in his truth. Live his truth.
He speaks his truth.
Yeah. No. I mean, and listen.
The truth.
I am a champion of speaking your truth. So I'm not mad. If me and Kyle, we don't agree on most things, but he's entitled to his opinion. I don't agree with it. And I think that's how most of the people that work here are. They have their opinions. They believe what they believe. And that's fine. And I think that's what makes the station so great.
But encouraging people to live their truth is.
Live their truth, Kyle.
But Hugh, that's what got us that phone call yesterday.
No, but Kyle.
Which was.
Great radio.
What phone call?
Was it great radio? Oh,
we're going to have to show this to TK later.
But was it great radio, though?
Oh, it was hilarious. And that's why I put it through. I mean, he told me what he wanted to talk about. I let him live his truth on the air. But we can't act like it's not a dangerous thing.
Well, I guess in this social climate right now, it could be. But isn't it entertaining?
Of
course. Like, it's very entertaining.
Absolutely, it is.
The best was during that call when Ryan had kind of thrown out his response. Hugh, you wanted no part. You're just like, he's talking to you, TK. This is not for me. This is for you, man.
This,
you're the Jalen hater.
This is what usually happens, because yesterday it happened with Joe when Art called in and talked to Joe. Like, because that's one of those conversations where it doesn't help to have two, three voices going back and forth,
right?
Because that's Joe's over here perplexed, wondering how did Art get to the conclusion that he got to.
Yeah. Just wait, TK.
I'm excited for
so
Art. Later,
there's
man.
No need for me. Only thing I'm doing is adding background,
okay.
Background music for that, because there ain't no need. Because Joe's over here, he's about to blow his stack, and Art's doubled down, and he's tripled down, and he's dug in. Let them have it.
I can't
let them cook.
I can't wait to hear this call later. let him cook.
Let him cook.
Let's go to Aaron in San Diego.
Aaron. What's up, Aaron?
Good morning, Philadelphia.
Did you lose Aaron? Your voice, Aaron?
Hugh, I'm supposed to be on the phone with insurance. Oh boy. What's that, honey? No, it's insurance, honey. No, I'm not on the phone.
Allowed to call.
Creepy radio guy. No, I told you I wouldn't do
that
anymore.
Oh my gosh, it's awful. Bad bit.
Hey, I got two developments, Hugh, on the smoking hot wife issue.
How about you start with the Eagles first?
The first development is I developed a welt the size of a baseball on the back of my neck after the wife got done with me yesterday after that phone call. And then the second thing is the smoking hot wife is soon to be the smoking hot ex-wife. So thank you so much, Hugh, for that.
See,
that
wait
was
a minute.
Entirely your fault.
What did I do? What you mean? How's
no,
he
Aaron,
doing?
No,
you
I'm
asked for a
Aaron's
picture
fault.
Of Aaron's wife, right?
I didn't ask.
So you know,
okay, sorry.
Okay, just so you know, there are two types of Hugh Douglas. Hugh wants to throw the word friends around like you do, like yes, no, like just like an average thing. But there is the radio Hugh. And then there's the Twitter Hugh. The Twitter Hugh doesn't follow you, doesn't comment on posts, you know, that you send them unless they're like, you know, over the line. You know, there's no interaction there. So I don't know the friendship
thing. Wait a minute.
I don't
Aaron,
know, dude.
I first and foremost, I apologize for the scathing comments I made, because I didn't know. And I will follow you. I interact with
you don't
a lot
wanna,
of people.
You don't want to do that.
But yeah, don't.
You didn't come. I sent you a photo of the wife yesterday. You didn't get it.
I didn't get it. I apologize. I didn't get it because I haven't, like, I've been on Twitter, but I haven't really been checking it. But I apologize. I thought we were friends.
What about the Eagles?
Kyle, I don't do this. People do this to me. You know, I got.
What about yo, Aaron? What about
yeah,
the
Aaron?
Eagles?
Aaron, come on. We got to move along here. We got Jordan Mailata and Jeremiah Trotter Jr. coming up.
Gotcha. So, Hugh, as a defensive player, okay?
Yes.
when you have, when you're facing a team, do you want a team that's predictable, or do you want a team that's going to keep you on your toes?
Team that keeps you on your toes usually the ones that are harder to beat, because like, you don't know what they're going to do. They get away from like their tendencies.
Kyle Quinn's statement, like they're gonna put on the Super Bowl and they're gonna figure out, you know, how to beat the Eagles. And I mean, that's the most ludicrous statement that I've ever
heard. Yeah, you're
right.
No other NFL team has looked at tape to figure out how to stop another offense before.
How,
it's ludicrous.
Tell me, Kyle, how are you gonna stop the Eagles? You gonna stop Saquon Barkley? Well,
I'm telling you, that's how teams are gonna try to do it, Aaron.
Hey, guess what? Saquon Barkley's gonna jam it down your throat.
Well, yeah, Aaron, we got to run. Practice is wrapping up. But yeah, I mean, teams are.
I just followed you on Twitter too, Aaron. So.
Yeah, that's a big mistake.
Yeah, that you're
going. Well, you know, I did ask the man to show pits up. Why? Y'all did make me feel like I was being a creeper.
I didn't hear Aaron's call yesterday. I just heard the follow up to it, so I didn't know all the context. But
I mean, and by the way, my friends called me, said I was not out of line.
Okay, well there you go.
I was not out of line. He said smoking hot. I didn't say
215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Back to the phones coming up. We're going to sit down with Jordan Mailata, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. when practice ends. Elliot Shore Parks will join us later on for a recap of practice as well. And your calls. All that coming up. Tom Kelly, Hugh Douglas. This is the Midday Show. We are at training camp today. Champ Camp, 94 WIP's Champ Camp, driven by Forest River RV by Camping World. RV sales, service, parts, and accessories from the NovaCare Complex, Sports Radio 94 WIP.